Today we have Ashley Sullivan, the Director of Academic Advising, and we also have Caleb Tarver, Jennifer Monkman, and JC Harrington, all Academic Advisors from the College of Education. I'm Meredith Howell, Academic Advisor in the College of Sciences and Mathematics.
And I'm Jonathan Hallward, Academic Advisor in the College of Liberal Arts.
And this is the award-winning Advising Two Bits podcast,
where we enhance but not replace your academic advising experience here at Auburn University. We started this series, last semester, where we start talking to different colleges on campus and kind of doing a spotlight of what you're doing. Many times, you know, we talk to students and they're like, well, what else is out there if they're thinking of changing their major or adding a minor or adding another major? And so it's always good just to hear what everyone's doing around campus. And so we'd love to hear what's going on in your world.
Thank you for having us. We are always excited to talk about the College of Education. We have multiple majors. We feel like we have majors that could interest almost anybody in the teach red field, outside of the teach red field. We have rehabilitation and disability studies for those of you who may be interested in occupational therapy, physical therapy, anything dealing with the rehabilitation world.
And we have pretty much every subject that you would want to teach covered pretty much with our undergraduate degrees. So we're super excited about that.
A lot of fabulous minors as well. Our counseling minor has grown tremendously. We have adult education.
What is teacher ed? Because I know education gets a little confusing because you also have the School of Kinesiology, and we're going to have that group on in the spring to talk about what they do. So this is same college, different opportunities, different program.
What these programs are set up for is they're set up to help get students certified to teach within the state of Alabama. So throughout their program, they're trying to work on those certification requirements, hit certain indicator points along the way. All of our students start off as their pre-admission to program, so we work on getting them admitted on into the program and get them on into clinical residency and get them graduated and certified.
Yeah, and a big thing we want to encourage students is just because you are majoring in a teacher education major doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be a teacher or I'm going to teach the rest of my life. For instance, myself, I went into education. I'm using my degree, but in a different way, right? I'm in academic advising. I'm teaching freshman courses. So I always try to instill in students is an education major can help you grow and develop into multiple careers. Tons of careers nowadays involve education, right? You are working with people. You are training people. You are teaching people. It may just not be in a classroom setting. So I think that's very valuable for people to understand who are in education or interested in education.
And you still have your subject areas that for the secondary majors that you're still getting certified in. Like you're still doing a great amount of content in that secondary subject area. So that even is at minimum what else you can do with it.
I think that's a great point to bring up. You mentioned subject specific. Can you talk about the majors that you have that are very general and that you can teach an entire grade or entire group of students versus those where they come along and maybe they only teach a specific subject?
Right. So for the secondary ed majors, and Ashley, you could help me remember and make sure we cover all of them. We've got the math education, science education, and science that can be general science ed, that can be chemistry ed, that can be physics ed, music, general social science, English, foreign language, business marketing,
Agri-science,
absolutely.
Business and marketing.
And business marketing ed. So even one of those secondary subject areas, you're getting set up within the state of Alabama to teach in between grades 6 through 12. So still a very broad range. You can apply that. You can hire to middle school, high school, and still have a very broad area that you can cover as a teacher.
So you're talking about how students graduate with a certification from the state of Alabama to be a teacher. Let's say you have a student that lives out of state and they are looking to move back home, that, you know, they came out of state for Auburn but don't intend on staying within the state of Alabama. What type of implications does that have as far as certification for this for their home state when they go back?
Right. So that happens a lot. A lot of our students may not be from Alabama or they may be wanting to change states. I was one of those. My initial certification is in the state of Georgia and then I tacked on Alabama. It really depends on the state. So initially, we encourage, of course, the student would move through the program and get their certification here at Auburn University for the state of Alabama first. Once they have that initial certification, it is then easier to get on other certifications from other states. Every state is different. It could just be pay the certification fee, fill out some forms, you're good to go. Or it may be you have to take some additional tests, take some courses. So what we do is we encourage students, once they have that initial certification, to contact the Board of Education in that state or in that area to find out what they need to do.
What about a student that maybe is currently in history or any one of the other fields that you're talking about that decide later, you know what, either their plans change or something isn't going to happen the way they wanted it to, or, you know, they just, their desires change. What can they do through the college in order to get to being able to teach?
The alternative masters would be the main thing I would suggest to that student. So essentially, we'll take history. So if a student is majoring in history in the College of Liberal Arts, something happens, or they just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a teacher, right? I'm going to change the world. We would then suggest for them to go through the ALT program. Now, that would be after they graduate. So we would encourage them, please stay with College of Liberal Arts. Finish that degree. You're already there, right? You're maybe one semester. Let's finish that degree. And then we would encourage them to come to the College of Education. It's a master's program. It's called Alternative Master. So essentially, it's built for students to not only get a master's, but also that certification to teach. So that's the difference between a traditional master's and a alternative master's.
So the certification is built into the program?
Yes.
Okay. For students who are like, well, maybe not a master's degree is for me, with that, there's still other options with the state that you can go through to still get that certification. So most of the time that does involve doing the certification exams that are required to lead to that certification. But there's just a few other items as well that students can work through, particularly once they've graduated and like, nope, I don't want to do a master's degree. They can reach out to the state and still have that opportunity to receive that certification.
If someone's thinking of doing that and going down that road, is there someone that's in the college that might be able to guide them? I mean, I know they're not a College of Education student, so they're not necessarily assigned anyone.
Right. So we would encourage them to speak with Dr. David Crow. He is our Assistant Dean of Certification and Assessments. He primarily works with graduate students, but also oversees undergraduate and graduate certification. So he is the point of contact for students who are in those different, I would say, situations where maybe they've obtained their certification 20 years ago, or maybe they haven't finished school, but they have X amount of credits and they're trying to find that best path for them. He would be the best point of contact to figure out which pathway is most efficient.
And that's who we regularly speak with when it comes to those situations. Is I recently had a student of my own who's looking to do a second undergraduate degree, and that's what ended up making the most sense for that student. So there's multiple ways to get there, but we do have that lovely point of contact who's with the state as well, who keeps up with the certification.
Can you talk a little bit about the challenges that you all face with this being in the middle between the College of Education, Auburn University, and the state of Alabama?
So there's lots of challenges that comes with that, right? Mm-hmm. So we've done everything that we're trying to do to get students certified at the end and when they're towards graduation. But certification is technically a process that goes a little bit after that graduation point, graduation being a huge point in that certification process. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get students all the way to that point. We work with the state in trying to make sure that we are in compliance with what they want us to do for education preparation programs. Mm-hmm. So there's several points along the way that we as advisors have to make sure students are progressing on through to make sure that we continue in that compliance. So it may not be that we have total control over a particular situation, mm-hmm. but we're trying to work it to make sure we're keeping up with Auburn, keeping up with the state, and balancing all that, and having fun when those two don't want to cooperate with each other. So that's right. Always a fun challenge that we have.
Right. And I would also like to say that we always advocate for the student. There have been changes that come down the pipeline that timing may have not been the best, right, from different avenues, if that were be the university or the state or the department or our office as a whole. We always put the student first. If it's going to negatively impact a student, we hit that head first and we talk about, okay, well, what can we do to make sure the student who is not at fault is not negatively impacted? And we are always successful in those cases. We may have to do a few pleas. We may have to send extra emails, go to additional meetings. But at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, is to ensure the students are not negatively impacted by all these changes that we sometimes get today. And it's a retroactive change. The student is always advocated for by the advisors. There's a lot of things that we, of course, will shield students from that they may find and hear from other pathways and things. But we always want to ensure that we're transparent. But we also know that, hey, we have your back. Everything's going to be fine.
And that's one of the biggest challenges that I would think students aren't aware that we face as advisors, is having to work on those things. And we're trying to be like, okay, so what can we do on our side with this change coming through to make sure that it doesn't negatively impact the student and fight it to a point where we can just say, oh, this is, you know, nothing has changed, so everything's set. Or if there is a change that we've already worked through, well, here's what we can do to help.
So you mentioned earlier the counseling minor, and I am curious to know, because you said there's a good bit of students that are in that minor. What do students plan to do with that? Coming from a science background, a student maybe, I don't know, biomedical sciences and is then looking at a counseling minor? Or what are ways that students can utilize that to their advantage?
Yeah, it's a wonderful minor for wanting to get that broader perspective, and particularly if you are thinking about maybe having a classroom application or maybe even a higher ed application later down the road, that can be a great way to gain other perspectives about working with students. What is it that they are facing? What is it that the challenges that they have? So that way you can more identify with those changes, maybe even see a student going through a particular set of challenges and be able to identify that earlier. So certainly lots of different applications.
Think of every occupation out there. Majority of them, you're dealing with people. We're not expecting you to be a counselor, but you will have basic techniques to learn how to understand people, like Caleb said, understand where people are coming from, their backgrounds, how to relate to them, and how to have conversations. And again, it just gives you those basic skill sets that make you successful, if that's in the classroom or if that's doing something within COSAM or whatever nursing or whatever occupation you go into. Again, giving you those basic skill sets is vital. We do have community music minor. We have a business and marketing minor, as well as sports coaching. Sports coaching is wonderful for people who are interested in being coaches. They want to be out, they want to be a teacher, but they also are like, hey, I'm really interested in coaching football or coaching tennis, whatever that may be. Again, giving them that skill set that they may not be getting fully within the program as far as coaching. But yes, I agree with the training and workforce development minor. It's fabulous because, like counseling, it really does connect to so many different other occupations and skill sets that will help you move through your different career paths.
As secondary, sometimes too, I have students who are really passionate about two subjects. Usually for me, it's been English and history, and they can't quite decide. So maybe they decide English ed or social science ed, and then they pick up the minor in the other. And we have had students that have gone on eventually then to get certified in the other.
Right. Like you had the student who majored, I think it was English or general social science.
But it was then English and a history minor. And so she actually got hired on at a private school and ended up teaching both subjects. Also had another one that was English and art, and she had the opportunity to also do that.
What opportunities might be out there for a student that maybe they're in that junior year and, you know, they've had that epiphany of what they want to do? What are routes to get there other than starting over, getting a second bachelor's degree, getting the alternative master's? And then what are some routes that students can do to get to teaching, to be able to do what they want to do and teach someplace?
Sure. There's multiple ways to kind of approach that angle. So if a student's looking to teach at a private school, most of the time they largely care about having that undergraduate degree. So maybe there's a setup there that you can get connected with their private school that if you got an undergraduate degree, we can work with you because that's in a subject related thing.
With no certification?
It depends on the private school. So just highly dependent on what that private school is requiring. For public, you will absolutely have to have it. No questions, if ands or buts regarding public school. But private school is a little bit more up in the air as far as what that private school is requiring.
Okay.
We still see a lot of value for the education degree itself when it comes to classroom management and things along those lines. So we definitely would say, like, if you want to do education, let's work with you. Let's see what we can do to get you there. So that way you can get those added benefits from that curriculum that comes from an education degree. So that way you can get those skills that will prove to be very helpful.
Yeah, 100%. We were actually talking to someone the other day who did an alternate route. And for some people that works. For some people that is amazing. But some people need those additional skill sets, like Caleb was just referring to about classroom management. That is huge. You know, we met with several people from all over the State Department, and that was something they talked about, is classroom management is just something that really needs to be honed in on. So yes, there are alternative routes, but for those of out there who are really interested in being educators and want to be successful right off the bat, then definitely going through some sort of program is going to set you up.
What are the education classes? What do they learn in those? What can they expect to experience? And how much of that is part of their curriculum? Is it about a half and half thing when you get into the major, or is it, you know, a little more one way or the other?
When it comes to the major specific classes, it probably leans a little bit more towards the subject area, at mm-hmm. least particularly for secondary, towards as far as what you would complete for your program. But you will have a almost half, at least, mm-hmm. for the education background courses. And what that kind of covers is some of the technology that you would expect to use in those teaching careers. So get you hands-on experience with using those various things. That way, when you day one classroom of your own, you're familiar with it, you have that confidence. Another thing that they'll cover is they will cover diversity in several different areas. So all of the education students are required to do our RSED 3000 course, which is diversity, and then our FOUN 3000 course, which is diversity of learners and settings. So it'll help students identify from students coming from different backgrounds and be able to recognize and include them within the class to make sure they don't feel left behind. But it also helps other teaching strategies mm-hmm. once you're in the classroom as well. So you'll have courses that directly correlate to, hey, when it comes to these set of topics or presenting in this way, here are some of the research that's been done to give those strategies out to teachers. Be like, hey, like, this is a great idea to use in this scenario.
Right. And some of the courses may be based on math or reading, but it's more of how to teach that. How do you teach reading? How do you teach literacy? How do you teach math? All of our programs also encompass practicums. Those are where you go out into the field. That right there is the best way to really get a feel for your major and really get a grasp of what your career is going to be like. Students love it. If they don't, then maybe they're not in the right field, right? But their practicums are going out in the field, shadowing, teaching themselves, multiple hours out in the field leading up into their clinical residency, otherwise known as internship, which is their final semester where they're out in the field all day, every day. That is what they're doing. They're not taking any classes. They are just interning. They get responsibility of the classroom for, I believe, up to 2 weeks where it's solely their class. I mean, of course, they have the teacher with them, but they get to feel what it's really like to be in the classroom. So our students are set up, and which is goes to my earlier point and Caleb's as well, is going through these programs, ensure that you know what your career is going to look like and to ensure that you are set up to be a very successful teacher.
For early childhood, that one leads to pre-K to third grade certification. We have elementary education that covers K through six. We have two versions of special ed. I'll let Ashley talk about those.
Yeah, so two versions of special ed. You have one in the school systems. It's going to certify you pre-K through sixth grade. However, it also certifies you birth through age eight. So some people who do the special ed certification may not actually want to necessarily teach in the public school system. So they would be certified to work with infants, literally birth through age eight. Then, of course, you have the other certification realm within special ed, which would certify you kindergarten through 12th grade in a public school system. You mentioned early and elementary, so we also have physical education.
Absolutely. We have rehab and disability studies, which Ashley did touch on a little bit ago regarding that one, helping students with occupational therapy, physical therapy, other routes for rehab. I've had students go into social work afterwards, positions within hospitals, things along those lines as well. So that one's pretty flexible. Our one non-teacher ed certification degree, but it's awesome.
I know for liberal arts, it's always that challenge of how do you tell someone what they can do with the major in whatever. It's so diverse, and things you learn that you can apply later to other things. You never know what's going to come your way.
So if anybody has driven down Sanford Avenue in the last year or so, they will have noticed that the Hill dormitories have been torn down. And the College of Education will be, in 2025, moving in. Can you tell us a bit about your new building that is currently under construction?
Dean Fairbrother, when he onboarded in 2019 or 2020, that has been one of his main goals, is we are getting this building up and going. We're going to do it. And he did it. So he has been wonderful, and the whole team. So we're really excited about it. We've seen all the building plans, and it's going to have like all the new shiny things in it. And we're really excited to have a building that we can call home and call ours and not have to share, right?
Haley Center is great and all, but it's nice to have our own place. that we can call home. And we're selfishly super excited about our own new advising area as well. So we're looking forward to having that for students.
Yeah, we're supposed to be, or we will be, on the first floor. So be very student friendly when students walk in. We will have greeters. We'll have a lot of different things going on, but our office will be on the main floor. So as prospectives come in or current students come in, they'll be greeted. And of course, we can assist them if that's with advising needs or any kind of need that they may have. But of course, there's multiple floors. But luckily, the first floor, we will be able to call it ours.
So this is a building that's going to have office space as well as educational space.
Absolutely.
They're putting in a lot of windows. So everybody is excited about the big, large windows.
The music ed classroom, I think, is going to be pretty big. So music ed's going to get a nice little space in there, too.
In ag education, they will have a component down in the basement. So that'll be very nice.
The Eagles program, it will have their own special spot in there. We're super excited about that.
Yeah. Right. Eagles will be on the first floor adjacent to us.
And for our listeners who don't know about the Eagles program, can you give us a little snapshot into what that entails?
Yeah, absolutely. We love the Eagles program. They are housed in our SERC department, Special Ed and Rehab and Counseling. It is a wonderful opportunity for students to join the Eagles program and go through where they're getting that college experience. They're also aligned with a mentor, which they call a wing, like a wing mentor, and they get to essentially experience college and move through and do great things. So we pride ourselves in our Eagles program.
And there's opportunity for students who are Auburn students, not within the Eagles program, to be part of that as well, right? For
yes.
Mentors?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the mentors are not just College of Ed students. Mm-hmm. They are all over.
If you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, whether it be from an education standpoint or just your own advising philosophies, what would you give them?
If you're ever in doubt or you have a question or if something comes across your mind and you're just unsure if that may be academic related or anything, come speak to your academic advisor, especially in the College of Ed. As you probably heard through this podcast, Teach Red majors, there are different things you have to go through with the State Department, X, Y, and Z. So the biggest thing is just to ask us. We work with you. We have mandatory advising every semester on purpose to ensure you know everything you need to know day one. There are never any surprises. You know what's needed of you and when in years in advance. Advocate for yourself. Ask an advisor. Speak up.
And I would add that anybody who is interested in the education field, go observe. Go see what it's like. Because I think that can provide a lot of eye-opening experience from that to say like, oh, that actually does look interesting. Or he's like, maybe not so much. No, selfishly, we think it's a great time. But we definitely encourage to get that early experience so that way you can see what it's like, see what those teachers go through.
If you don't ask, the answer is always no. I've been so surprised that when we have asked the question, a lot of times it's a yes. And so I would just always encourage the student to ask.
Worst answer is no.
And this concludes today's episode of the Advising Two Bits podcast. We want to thank our guest and you, the listener, for joining us.
We hope this information will be beneficial in your next advising meeting.
Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so you can be notified the next time new material is available.
The Advising Two Bits podcast is produced by Adam McGee in the College of Agriculture.